Good morning. I'm turning to the 42nd Psalm, and I would encourage you to join me. I will have the, unlike Bible class, I will go through the slides with the verses. I want to thank everyone for coming out this morning, for taking the time to choosing to be here to worship God, to sing these songs of praise, to study from His Word. It's just good to be here. Good to see everyone. It's an encouragement to me as well. I want to thank the elders, Dave and Kevin and Ed, who's traveling, but I want to thank them for this opportunity to be able to stand up here and their confidence in me. And I really appreciate that. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the mothers, not just mothers of that had children, but also the spiritual mothers. We talked about that in Bible class, people that encourage. There's a lot of spiritual mothers out there that don't always get recognized, and I want to take that time at this point to recognize those that helped raise up spiritual children. And I'd also like to say that I'm kind of really excited today, and I'll take a little heat for this later, but I just want to say I'm really happy today because I got 80% of my kids here with me today. And that's the most I've had in a long time in one place. So I'm just kind of really thrilled about that. Go from there. So we're going to look at the Psalm 42. And this is the first Psalm in the second book of the Psalms. It was written by the sons of Korah. If you remember the sons of Korah, the Korah led a rebellion of around 250 of the community members against Moses during the Exodus period in the wilderness. And God judged Korah and his leaders, and they were all put to death, and God killed them. But it says there in Numbers 26, it says that the sons of Korah remained. And it seems that if you go through and you look through the Chronicles, you'll find this their names again. And it seems that by some point around David's time or so, they were Levites, so they would have been involved in the worship. And it seems like they were more involved in the music portion, which makes sense that they would have been writing psalms as well. So this psalm has a special meaning for me. In 2013, I was deployed to Afghanistan. And this became kind of my battle cry within that. I had been reading the Psalms a lot, and I felt a great connection to what the writer was feeling at that point in time. And so this, you know, I don't want to say you could ever read a passage too many times, but this passage got read a lot in 2013, especially verses 5 and 11, and we'll get to that. I've really tried to condense. I've always wanted to do a lesson on this psalm because it does mean so much to me, and I've really tried to condense this thing down because I've got a lot of things I got to say about this. There's a lot of things we could look at through this, but I really don't think you want to hear them all this morning, so we'll narrow it down to a specific three things. And so instead of really focusing and breaking down the psalm, what I want to do is use it as the backdrop for everything else that we're going to do. Make an application to our lives here as we go through this world. So let's begin in Psalm chapter 42. And we're going to just read through this. It says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of miser. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone before me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance and my God. As you can see, the writer here, as we do a quick overview, the writer here has a lot of reasons and indicates many things why he's cast down. He's got a great longing for God to be comforted. You know, it's a wonderful vision here. He uses as a deer pants. We sing that song, as a deer. As a deer is aching for water. He's that feeling, that sorrowful, that needful for God. He feels like he's separated from God. A distance from home, away from the house of God. He's surrounded by people who just want to make his life miserable. Those that are just constantly taunting him, where is your God? He's got memories of better days. You know, their song from the 80s, one of the hair bands had the song, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And that is 100% true. This writer's feeling that. Missing the things in which they enjoy. He's got a lot of trials in life that's happening. Feeling sorrowful. Feeling almost like you can't breathe under the crashing waves. And to make it all worse, he's got this feeling that God's just forgotten him. There's no response. And with all this that he's feeling, you could find it easy for him to give up. Similar to Job's wife telling him, just curse God and die. Get over with. This ain't worth it. However, what we find in verse 5 and what we find in verse 11 is that he pauses from the painful memory and he challenges himself. He challenges his own soul. He doesn't surrender to those feelings of spiritual depression and discouragement. He brought them before God. He said to those cast down and disquieted feelings, hope in God. With the understanding that he's going to come through again because he's come through before. And this is a long way from any type of surrender. You can see this psalm is going to be very relevant to our lives today. And I hope that you can kind of see why this would be relevant to someone who is on the other side of the globe in a country that does not recognize Jesus, around individuals who are not always godly, and just a feeling of sadness for the state that they're in. And how this can be very uplifting. So this morning, just real briefly here, I like to say briefly, but yeah, we're going to look at three things. The reason that how this really does apply to us today in our lives. And the first thing I want to look at is there will be times, unfortunately, in our lives, that we are going to feel down spiritually. There will be something that happens within our lives. It could be a sickness. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be an illness of a loved one. It could be someone falling away. It could be us having to move. Whatever it is, there's going to be times that something will happen and it will cause us to fall into a spiritual depression. But let's remember something, that God's people have always been surrounded by wickedness. And we live in a society no different than today than what Noah lived with in chapter 6, where it says that God saw the wickedness of man, it was great on the earth, every intent of his heart was on evil continually. And that the Lord was sorry that he even put man on the earth. It was so bad, God was grieved to the point, why did I even put these people here? It's easy to find ourselves discouraged by others. We can look around and we can see the people that we work with and their activities and behaviors. The policies or the laws or the things that get placed in by our governing authorities that in some cases do not go along with what God has given us can cause us to be discouraged. We can be discouraged by the relationships that we have in our lives. And it can cause us spiritual distress. We may find ourselves questioning our faith. We may end up feeling like we're the seed that fell amongst the thorns in the parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 8, where we have our faith choked out by all that's going on around us. We may find ourselves like Peter when Jesus was taken in by the mob in chapter 26, where we just lack the courage to stand up for our faith out of fear. And we let others either think that we do not, or we're not a believer, or we let others take heat for things that we're just not willing to step up for as well. We're living in a crooked and perverse generation just like they were then. In this generation, we're going to have times that we could fall into spiritual depression. We could fall into feeling cast down, disquieted, and we may even feel like God has forgotten all about us. But when we fall into that spiritual depression, when we're down there and we need to figure out what we're going to do, we need to look up to God. I heard a story one time about individuals that it was about service members in Vietnam. And that when you're in an environment that you've got to go through and you've got to traverse through these trails or along the way, and you've got to travel through this, and the enemy has an upper hand on setting traps for you. The point man, when they would be going through, his job was to really look for these traps. And the story was that if the point man ever caught something that caught his eye up in the air, you have to stop immediately and look down. Because what the enemy's going to do is the enemy's going to put something there to cause you to want to look up and take your eye off down here so that they can have the trap ready for you there. Brothers and sisters, we are in no different of a situation in our walk of life today. Satan has the upper hand on setting traps for us here on this earth. And he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to use our money. He's going to use material items. He's going to use relationships. He's going to use anything he can to get us to take our eye off the path of righteousness and look over here and get us trapped in something. He's going to get us down into that and get us feeling low. He's going to pull us into a spiritual depression. And that spiritual depression, if we don't treat it, will cause a spiritual death. So when we're down and we're wondering what to do, we have got to look up to God. And there's three things real quick look at looking up to God. So we know that we're going to have these times. So what are we going to do? We're going to look up to God. And the first thing we can do is we can look up to God in prayer. Prayer is such a great thing. Robert, I want to thank you for one word, actually he said it twice, one word that he used. Relationship. God wants to have a relationship with us here on this earth. And prayer is the way we're able to communicate with Him. We're able to go to Him in prayer. It's a benefit that He has given His children. We can go to God in times of sorrow. When we think of Nehemiah chapter 1, you just got told that the city of your home has been destroyed. There's nothing left. Nehemiah verse 4, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I want you also to think about something. If you go through your Old Testament and in your New Testament as well, find all the times that individuals were sad about something, anything, and then look to see what the response was. You're going to find a lot of praying happening. Is that what we do when we're feeling down? Or do we try to feel sorry for ourselves? Jesus, before his crucifixion, John captures a lot of things in his book. But I want to focus on some of the words that were used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark writes that he was deeply distressed. Luke states that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and then his sweat became like great drops of blood. And Matthew, Jesus says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. If Jesus, the Son of God, God in human form, needed prayer to get through, don't you think we need to use it as well? And we need to use it just to get through a day. We cannot allow that to our sorrow and distress to break us up. Go to God. We're able to go to God and in prayer to be able to remove all of our worries, to ask Him for the assistance to get through those things. The Apostle Paul wrote the words of these words of comfort in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we just let it, you don't have to think, well, how in the world is this going to, how's this going to make me better? How's this going to make it better? You know what it just said there? It says, the peace of God, it surpasses your understanding. If you'll just let it go, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I need more help on this than I think that anyone realizes. Okay? No laughing from the peanut gallery. I am, for those of you who don't know, I am a control freak. Okay? I need to have control over a lot of things. It bothers me to not have control over something. And guess what I don't have control over? Anything when it comes to God. I need to be reminded all the time. You can't have control over this. You can't have control over this. You gotta let God handle it. It's hard, but we have to do those things. And prayer is a way for us to acknowledge that. Let it get out. Give it to God and He will take it over for us. There's nothing in this life that we can't handle if we let God's peace in our lives. Second thing we need to do when we're look up to God is singing. I love singing. I love singing praises to God. I'm telling you, we could do an entire full, like 10, 12 songs during service and extend the service by an hour by singing, and I would be just as happy as anything else. I love it. I love hearing God's people singing these songs. It uplifts me so much. Music can bring out a powerful emotion in people. There's reasons why when you hear certain songs, it makes you think of something. Maybe you and your spouse or you and your girlfriend or you and whoever have a song. And when you hear that song, you think of that person. And you think of good times, hopefully. There's a lot of songs I hear. My dad was a really, really good guitar player. And when I hear certain songs, I think of my dad. And so rarely is there a day, since he's been gone, that I don't think of him. because I'll hear something and it will make me think of him. And it's great because I'm able to remember. He's always in my mind. There's songs that we use to try to get someone else to acknowledge something. Maybe you've made in the past, okay, so for anybody over 40, maybe you made a mixtape at some point in time. Okay? And for anybody under 30, maybe you made a playlist. Okay? Because you want to tell somebody, these are the songs that make me feel the way I feel about you. We need to do that with our God. We need to tell Him, this is how we feel. I find myself at times just all of a sudden feeling and singing. And yes, I do it quietly most of the time because people, you know, will look at you weird if you start singing in the mall for any reason. But I find myself singing In Christ Alone. Think about that. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. There's a song that that Stephen has led on a few occasions. I love it. I will rise. I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrows, no more pain. Those help us. They comfort us. They lift us up. They're nice tunes as well. God's people have always used singing to celebrate and to praise God. The children of Israel sang the song of Moses. In chapter 15, it starts off, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. In Judges 5, Deborah's song of praise, because God avenged Israel, it concludes with these words, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love Him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. That's us too. God is going to perish all the enemies, and we can be like the sun in full strength. You ever see the sun in a nice July day when it's bright out there and it's about 100 degrees with humidity about 115, but that sun is just beating and bright? That's the way we should be with our praise to God. In 2 Samuel 22, David's closing scene. We don't find much more about David in history with this. When he provides this song, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Is He your rock? Is He the one you stand upon? Is He your fortress who gives you protection? Is He the one who saves you? Let Him know those things. We can also use songs to get us strength and comfort. In Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas. They had been stripped of their clothes. I want you to take this picture because if you've ever looked in any illustration books or the kids' books of Paul and Silas in Philippi, it does not do what they suffered justice. I want you to think about this. They were stripped of their clothes. They were then beaten with many stripes. They didn't get a couple of smacks. They were beaten with many stripes. They were placed into the inner part of the prison. This was not a jail like we find in 21st century United States with TVs and recreational rooms and yard time and all this. It would have been a dark, dismal, cold, damp space. And let alone being placed in there, they were then chained. Their feet were chained to the wall. They weren't even able to move around. They would have been naked. The wounds that they suffered to the beating had not been taken care of. They weren't taken to the prison nurse to be cleaned up. They were just thrown right in there. But what do we find them doing at midnight? Acts 16 and 23, they were praying and singing hymns to God. And they were doing it loud enough that the other prisoners heard them. I don't believe, this is me, I don't believe they were just doing this because they wanted to praise God and try to get other people to convert. Hymns were used at a time of sorrow. I personally believe that they were singing these songs because they needed something to comfort them. They were praying and they were singing hymns because they needed God's help to strengthen them. They didn't know if they were going to live or die. And they needed something. to bring them up. When we find ourselves down and we need to look up to God, we need to sing a song. Sing a song. It doesn't matter. Stephen said it last week in the song service. It doesn't matter if you think you can carry a tune in a bucket or not. God isn't listening to do, re, mi. He's listening to the words that are in your heart. Sing the song of praise. Sing a hymn and let God lift you up. Third thing this morning, when we're feeling down, we need to look up to God. We need to look to each other. We need to look to those with the same faith to build us up. We need to depend on each other. When I look around this room, I see exactly what Paul wrote in Romans 12 and in Galatians 6. Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I made sure I asked Dwayne before I came up here about his niece. So for any of you that saw about his niece being taken to the hospital, thanks to God that she's home. And hopefully they'll find out what's happening. Weeping with those who weep. And we also can rejoice that baby boy Matthews came this week. That's how we get through our weeks, is with each other. Fellowship. When we look up to God, we should see the faces in this room. And when we look at the faces in this room, we should see God. I feel so blessed to be a part of the family here at Laurel Canyon. I really do. I'm going to miss each one and every one of you when the time comes to leave. Because I look around this room and I see many faces that I know that I can go to when I'm weeping or when I just need words of comfort or when I want to celebrate some good news. And I want to thank each and every one of you for that. We can be there to build each other up. In Bible class, we talked about Barnabas. So true. That's one of the things that I want to suggest to you today, that reason why God wants us to meet is not just so that we can help teach each other. That's part of it, very important part of it. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we use this in a lot of verses. Oh, this is why you must go to services. And I'm not saying we shouldn't go to services, but let's read this whole thing. Chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." If we're just coming here because we want to sit and we want to be here because we feel like, well, I have to show up on Sunday morning, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I hope I'm not outing myself. I'm not the only person that at some point in time in their life that they showed up to services because they didn't want grandma to yell at them. Okay? Weren't really interested in being there. But we still were there. That is forsaking the assembly. If we're here just because we just don't want to get griped at by mom, dad, or grandma, then we're forsaking the assembly. We need to want to be here. We need to want to participate in the service. We need to focus on each other. Because if we're all here working together and singing together, it's going to build each other up. And when you're not here and someone notices that you're not here and they reach out to you, it makes a difference. And when you're here and somebody says, "It's great to see you," and they're not saying it sarcastically because you weren't here last week, they're genuinely serious. They're glad to be able to see you this Sunday. It builds you up. I learned this idea several years ago in Indonesia. The joy that you saw in some of these people's faces. They didn't walk, people walk around saying Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday. They would come up, Happy Sunday. They would greet you with that. They were happy. It was the Lord's Day. This was a great day for them. We need to have that same attitude. We need to build up each other. That's why God put so many different roles in the church. In Ephesians 4, it says, and he gave himself some to the apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the ministry of the work, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. You don't need to be able to lead singing to be of a benefit to a congregation. You don't need to teach a Bible class to be a benefit to the congregation. You don't need to lead prayers to be a benefit of the congregation. You can be that person that lets everyone else know that you're happy that they're there. You can be there to stand there and cry with them when they're crying. You can be there to rejoice with them when they're rejoicing. And you will be of more help than any one person that's standing up here preaching a sermon. Let's look to one another when we're down. So we already know that we're going to feel down at times. When we do that, we're going to look up to God in prayer, in singing, and in fellowship. And why? Because God has promised that we will be comforted. And this is the last point I want to make. God has, throughout time, especially in the New Testament, always promised that there's going to be troubles. We're going to suffer. But we will be comforted. Similar to the deer that is aching for thirst from the water of the brook. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. If we are thirsting after God, if we are hungry for His Word, if we want Him in our lives, He is going to fill us up. All we have to do is ask for it and accept it. We find Matthew, Jesus tells us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives bread, everyone who receives and he who asks finds, and him who knocks will it be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you, being evil, know how to give a good gift to your child, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to things who ask him? You know, I've given some messed up gifts before in my life. Okay? But when my kids were hungry, I gave them food. It may not have been a lot of food, but I gave them food. God is going to give us the best gifts that we can imagine. He's going to give us gifts that we can't imagine. If we ask. He is so good to us. There's a song that some of you may have heard. I don't even know who sings it. But it's called Good Father. And the song just goes, you know, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And it's just an amazing concept. That he's going to treat us like children in need. And if we as humans know how to give good gifts to our kids, then how much better is God going to give them to us? And then another verse, be last verse, the lesson will be yours. We can be comforted in Jesus. I already mentioned John 17. We're not going to read that. But John accounts for Christ's prayer before he is going to go and be crucified. I mean, he prayed for himself. He prayed for his apostles. And he prayed for us. Kevin said this morning before the song for the Lord's Supper, even when he was getting ready to die, he thought of his mother and was concerned. He thought of us in that garden. He knew he was going to be beaten. He was going to be humiliated. He was going to be put up on a cross, the most brutal form of death that was saved for the worst of the criminals, for the enjoyment and the entertainment for those around. They didn't do it in the backyard. They did it out on a hill. They wanted everyone to be able to see this. There was crowds that would come around. And not because they were coming around to watch and cry. They were coming around, they wanted to see what was going on. And he thought of us. And Paul wrote a well-known, everybody knows this passage, but you know, if you go back to verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be on the low end. And I know how to abound. I know how to be up here. In everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be both full and hungry. To both abound and to suffer need. I can take care of anything that there is that's thrown at me, whether it's good or bad. And why? Not because of what I can do, Paul would say. Because he says there in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We each this morning can do all things through Christ because He will strengthen us. Why are you cast down? It's a great question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I'm going to praise Him because I want to see His countenance. What is that? His shining face. Just like a father looks down at his son or daughter on something that they're doing with approval and pleasing smile glowing, God will look down upon us. Why are we being cast down? When we have God above. When you're down on the ground and you're kneeling down and you think, you know what, I just don't think I can get up. Look up. Look up in prayer. Look up in song. Look up for all of us around you. And you will be comforted. So where are you at today? Are you in a spiritual depression? You got a little spiritual funk that you're in, don't want to call it a depression, want to say, you know, I just don't know what's wrong. Maybe you just need to share your struggles. Share them with us. Maybe you've yet to put on Christ through baptism. And you recognize that there's something missing in my life. And the answer that was given to the eunuch when he realized that all he needed was Jesus is the same answer today. When the eunuch says, well, here is some water, what hinders me to be baptized? Is that your answer today? We're here to help you in anything. Whatever you have need for. Don't be cast down. Don't be disquieted. Hope in God. Let's think of all those things while together we stand and sing.